4, if you would, this morning, and we started last week in Ephesians chapter 4 in Sunday morning, the first 6 verses, and then last Sunday night, we actually did several verses more, but I want to call your attention to another passage of Scripture, another verse in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Again, thank you so much for all those who have continued to pray for me, and appreciate all the phone calls and emails and text messages. Certainly means a lot. Appreciate all of that. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read a few verses this morning and really highlight one verse in our text today and run with that with the Lord's help this morning. Look at verse number 17, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as a truth is in Jesus, that you put off the concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God, and created in righteousness and true holiness." This passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, is a very, very important passage of Scripture in dealing with the life of a believer in connection with not only the church, but in connection with Christ and what that means to be intertwined together with the church and with Christ. I want to call your attention to verse number 20, and I want you to really focus in this morning on what the Apostle Paul is saying in this verse. "But ye have not so learned Christ." But ye have not so learned Christ. Have you ever believed something about someone, whether the reason you believe it or not, you believe something about someone for a long time, and your opinions and your actions and your walk, everything you did to and about that someone was because of what you believed about that person. But then you found out the truth about that person, or you found out the truth about that particular thing, and it changed everything about it. You see, many of us have been taught or have believed something about Christ for a long time. Maybe there's principles, and maybe there's things that we have listened to or believed, but yet the Apostle Paul is breaking away from all of the teachings and all the monotony, saying, "Listen, you haven't even learned Christ. You don't know who he is. You don't know what he's about. You don't know how it is about the church, and it's about him." This word "learned" in the Greek has the idea, is really two definitions. It means to be informed. It means to find truth about who Christ is. But it also means to be in the habit of, or to take that truth that you've learned and that you're hearing and to make it a part of your everyday life. This particular phrase, "but ye have not so learned Christ," is not some kind of happen verse. It's not some kind of verse that's just kind of thrown in there. It goes with the greater portion of the Scripture. It goes with the greater context of Ephesians chapter 4. So what does it mean that we learn Christ in relation to his church? What does it mean that we know who Christ is in the aspect of the body of believers? Now today, I'm not just speaking of the local church, even though specifically Victory Baptist Church in Bryson City is our local church. I'm speaking of the church as a whole, the body of Christ as a whole. How can we know Christ in relation to his church? What does that mean? Well, obviously there's a few things. In fact, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 quickly before we get started this morning. And just want to show you just a few quick things from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, the Apostle Paul writing in similar fashion as he did to the church at Ephesus. To the Corinthian believers, he's writing about different gifts. He's writing about how God's blessed us differently with all things. Look at the Bible says in verse number 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, there's a great truth in this passage of Scripture, and that is, we all are many members that have different abilities and different gifts, and we all function differently, but according to Scripture, we're all one. But the last phrase of verse number 12 is the key phrase. So also is Christ. The Apostle Paul is throwing us an example here of Jesus Christ and how that relates to the church and what that means to the church. Let me just be very clear this morning. We need to learn what Christ is and what He wants us to be in and through His church, not just Victory Baptist Church, but in the body of believers. And I believe He laid that out step by step in Ephesians chapter 4. So let's learn a little bit about Christ and what He intends for us in the church, in the body of believers. The first thing I want you to write down is that Christ intends for us to be strong in unity. Christ intends for us to be strong in unity. Now, I won't stay here very long this morning because last week we preached the whole message on unity. But if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, the first six verses, you will see how Christ, under the writings of Paul, speaks to how that we should live and be strengthened together by unity. He makes that plea in verse number 1 that you should be unified and you need to walk worthy and you need to make sure that you're doing what your part in doing. He says there's the plan in verse number 2 with lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another. He detailed the plan out for unity. And then he says we should all be personally responsible for that unity. Look at verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That grammatical construction is you individually keep the bond of peace in the church. And so what he's saying here is if you want to learn Christ in relation to the church, here's what he's saying. He expects us to be strong in unity. How many's ever heard of a great preacher who's passed now by the name of Adrian Rogers? You ever heard of that name? Adrian Rogers, a great Southern Baptist preacher. Pastor for many years in Tennessee, just a fantastic orator of God's Word. I mean, just someone came to him and said, and he pastored a church of thousands of people, and said, Brother Adrian, how do you expect the church to get along with so many people being different? And here's what he said. We embrace diversity. We embrace being different. Now, the Apostle Paul said, being many members but one body. Everybody's different, but we're combined and connected on the one central thing, and that is Jesus Christ. So if we're to learn Christ this morning in relation to the church, here's what he said first of all. We should be strong in unity. Number two this morning, if we're to learn Christ, we should be serving in purpose. If we're to learn Christ, if we're to know and be informed of what Christ expects us in relation to the church, number one, we should be strong in unity. And number two, we should be serving in purpose. Look what the Bible says in verse number 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The Apostle Paul is saying here that every single member of God's body has a role to play in God's church. Some may have a bigger role. Some may have a smaller role in the eyes of man and the eyes of God. They're all the same. But we all have a role to play. In fact, he further proves that. Look at verse number 11. And some he gave apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse number 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. Verse number 11, he gave the what? Of our serving. And verse number 12, he gave the why of our serving. What it is that everybody has a function in the church. Let me just say this. If you're not functioning in some way, in some service of the church, you're not doing what God's called you to do. Amen. If you're not doing something in the church, and I'm not just talking about the local assembly, but if you're not serving in some way, the body of Christ, in Christ, through Christ, then you are not doing what God has gifted you to do. Now he, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, don't turn there, but he lists many other gifts, the diversity of gifts. And I believe that God gives everybody gifts. And everybody is blessed a certain way. I encourage you sometime. How many has ever taken a spiritual gift test before? Let me see your hand. I encourage you, if you've never taken a spiritual gift test, you should. You should find out how God's gifted you. Now, beyond talent and beyond your physical ability of certain things, God has gifted you in certain ways. And you need to find that function, that service that God is doing in your life. Now, remember, we should serve in purpose or on purpose. Why should we serve? Well, verse number 12, for the perfecting of saints. You know what he's saying here? The Apostle Paul said that we should serve so that we can strengthen and help others mature in their faith. I don't know about you, but everybody in this room is at a different point in their life spiritually. Some may be here, some may be here, some may be here, some may be over here, but we're all in different places. And the Apostle Paul said on the inspiration of the Lord that we serve for this purpose so that we can encourage growth in the body of Christ. So that we can encourage for people to grow in the Lord and perfect the saints of God so they can mature. Look what else he said. For the work of the ministry. Simply put, if you and I don't serve in the body of Christ, who's going to? How does it get done? If nobody's here to sing in the choir, do we have a choir? If there's nobody here to teach in a Sunday school class, is there anybody to teach? If nobody shows up to clean the church, does the church get clean? If nobody's here to preach, if nobody's here to teach, if nobody's here to play an instrument, how will that get done? He said, for the purpose of serving, here's why we do it, to work. That the ministry could go forward. And then he said, number three, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Do you know what's encouraging is to see someone using their talents to serve the Lord? It's encouraging to see a young person play the piano this morning for offering and use her talents for God. You know what that does? That encourages me to serve God. That encourages me to take my talents and my gifts and my abilities and use it for God. You know what's encouraging? It's encouraging to see all the many volunteers that we have in Awanas and show up and they're down in the hallway and they're letting kids read to them and they're doing the verses and to see the people in the nursery and see the people teaching and see all the many people Thursday night that were here who served in some way. You know what that does to my heart? That does my heart good. That encourages me. That builds me up. That's what we need in the body of Christ. And if you want to know Christ and you want to be informed about Christ and the relationship of the church, here's what that means. That we serve on purpose. We serve for a reason. Now, ultimately, let me just back all that up to say this. We do serve so that people in the church can be strengthened and mature in their faith. We do serve so that the work can go forward. We do serve so that we can encourage others and build them up. But don't miss this. If you only serve for those reasons, you won't serve very long. We all should serve for Him. We don't serve for money. We don't serve for recognition. And essentially, even though we do to some degree, we don't serve other for other people, even though there's a degree of that, but we serve for Him and for Him alone. We serve to please Him, to honor Him, to give Him glory for what He's done in our life. Here's what it means to know Christ, to be informed, to learn Christ in relation to the church. Number one, be strong in unity. Number two, Christ expects us to be serving in purpose. Number three, here's what he said, to be standing in doctrine. Look what the Bible says in verse number 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know what he's saying here? Do you know how long that we should continue to serve and continue to grow and continue to do what's necessary to please the Lord until we are perfect? Now, has anybody reached that status yet? All right, good. We're all not perfect. Now, until you reach that status, we should continue to serve and continue to strive to be unified. But look what he said in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Do you know what it means to learn Christ and to be informed and to walk in the habit of who he is in relationship to the church? Here's what it means. It means that we should know what truth is. We should know what doctrine is. We should be, as believers, some of the most studied people of the world, in the world of this book. The sad truth is, many people all across the world are attending church right now, and I'm glad they're in church. But many of you could not back up your own faith. Many of us could not take us to Scripture and tell someone else why we believe what we believe. Why do we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture? Why do we believe in salvation by grace and faith alone? Why do we believe about the incarnation of Christ? What do we believe about the virgin birth? Why do we believe all these doctrines of the faith that are essential to who we are? We can't back that up in Scripture. To know Christ is to know the relationship with the church, meaning that we should be standing in our doctrine. I'll tell you something this morning. If it's truth and it's doctrine and it's in this book, man, we should stand firm. We should be rock solid. We should let everybody know that this is what we believe, and we're not ashamed of that. But if it's not in this book, you better not cry too loud on it. Standing firm in doctrine. Why is that important? Why is it important to know what we believe? Why is it important that we go to, as we did this last summer, growth groups, where we individualize our study groups so that we can learn more and grow more? Why is it important that we get as much of this Scripture in our lives? Why is that important? So we be no more like children, tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine. Do you know what kids are? You know how he's relating to kids? Kids kind of got that one track mind for like 30 seconds, and they're focused for like 30 seconds, and then 30 seconds later they're focused on something else. Jaden, eat your peas in your plate. He'll take a bite, and next thing you know, he's playing the trash can. Children are tossed to and fro. And the Apostle Paul said, if you want to learn Christ, if you want to know what Christ really means about the church and in the church, here's what it means. You study your faith and you stand firm on doctrine. You know, a lot of the squabbles and a lot of the fights that we have in our movement and our denomination, our churches, would all be put away if we'll just stand on the truth of God's word. Standing in doctrine. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I don't know if you realize this today, but I guarantee you, I can prove you this. If you would go and turn your television on sometime today, turn on a Christian station for the most part, and you will hear much in our world is false doctrine. I'm not saying every TV preacher, everybody has a TV program is wrong. There's some good ones that come on. But there's a lot of people out there right now that teach false doctrine, and they're nationally well-known, recognized. And if we're not careful as believers, we'll fall prey to that cunning craftiness, that words of man. And here's how we not allow ourselves to do that. We study the Word of God for ourselves. We know what we believe. It's not my grandmother and my grandfather's faith. It's not my parents' faith. It's mine. I'm going to take responsibility to know what I believe. Just because a church constitution, or just because a doctrinal class in your college, or just because someone told you that, doesn't make it right. Find out in the Word of God for yourself. Be studied up on the doctrine, on the truth of God's Word. I can say a whole lot more there, and I won't, but number four, and last of all, we're to know Christ. Number one, here's what it means. Christ wants us to know to be strong in unity. He expects us to be serving in purpose. He expects us, number three, to be standing in our doctrine. But number four, he expects us to speak in love. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, the very first word of that verse, obviously, is a word that kind of switches gears. The Apostle Paul is not trying to change the subject. He is just kind of changing the mood for a moment. He's not going a different direction. He's kind of changing the attitude. Don't miss this tonight. I mean, this morning. Don't miss this. We have got to be strong in our unity. We have got to serve the Lord on purpose. We have got to stand on doctrine and on truth of God's word. We have got to. But if it isn't done in the right way, you might as well not do it. How do we do it? In love. Do you know how the world expects us to live by the consensus of the majority of Christians today? We don't care about you. We don't care about what you think. This is what we believe, and you can shove it. That's the consensus of many Christians. I'm not saying we shouldn't stand for truth. But let's do it in love. We ain't got to hate everybody in the process. We don't have to hate the whole world in telling them what we believe. My youth pastor, you say like this, there's the right things to do, but there's the right way to do them. This morning the Apostle Paul said, yes, stand for doctrine, stand for truth, but do it in the matter of love. Do it in the matter of that which is pleasing to Christ and showing forth his love. You know what, the truth about learning Christ in this point is to say this: you cannot define the Lord's life without making a circle or circumference around one word, and that he loved everybody he came in contact with. No matter if they were religious or not, no matter if they walked with him or not, no matter if they agree with, no matter if they were sinners, no matter if they were just dirty, rotten people, he loved every single person. The Bible says in Matthew that when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. He loved them. So much love for you and for me. You know what he did? He sacrificed his life for us. Now think about this for just a moment. Think about this. Here's what the Bible says. God commendeth or showed or demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet what? Say it again, what? Sinners. Do you know you're a sinner? I'm not talking about the person that didn't come to church this morning who hates God. I'm talking about those of you who look nice, came to church, thinking everybody's okay. You're a sinner just like me. And the Bible says God looked down through time, saw each of us in our sin, saw the sin that we would commit, saw how bad that we are, no matter what we think we are, saw how bad we are, and said, I'm going to show them love. I'm going to die for them. I guarantee you, if our churches, if our movement would live their life out with that truth, we'd see a lot more people come to Christ. We see the church strengthen and grown by that truth. But, he said, speaking the truth in love, watch this, may grow up into him in all things. You know why we grow up in him in all things? Because love is a sign of maturity. When you can love somebody who don't love you or love somebody who disagrees with you, that's a sign of maturity. And then we can grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know how it all fits together? Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Can I tell you what the result is of really learning Christ and learning what Christ expects of us? In him and through him in the church. Okay, when we strive to be strong in unity, when we strive to serve on purpose. When we stand on doctrine, and then we do it all with love, here's what happens. The church grows. It grows. That's what he said. The whole body fitly joined and compacted together, every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working the measure of every part, maketh what? Increase of the body. You know why churches that can't get along don't grow? Because they can't get along. But do you know why churches that seem to grow and God blesses them and God grows them even beyond themselves and they can't even believe what God is doing? You know why? Because they're strong together. Because they serve on purpose. Because they stand for truth and they do it all out of the love of Christ. I tell you what somebody should know about Victory Baptist Church when they come in this church, when they hear something about this church. They should know what we disagree on. They should know that we love one another and that we stand for the truth of God's Word. That's what they should know. That particular verse says there's increase of the body and the edifying of itself in love. I'll say this morning, and I'm closing. Here's a major truth that this church and every church in Swain County needs today. Here's what it is. All of us, if we're believers, are in this thing together. Amen. We're not on a different team. There's either the Lord's team or the devil's team. Which one are you on? I'm on the Lord's team. How many love watching Swain County football? Liars. I mean, y'all half asleep. Goodness gracious. Thank you, Ross. He likes playing at least. Better yet, how many like watching Clemson football? Everybody raise your stinking hands, okay? Nobody likes watching Tennessee or Alabama. But anyways, I mean, think about being on the same team. Man, we're going the same direction. We're fighting the same battles. We're against the same things. We're for the same things. We're in this thing together. No matter if your name is Victory Baptist Church or a different name, if you name the name of Christ, we're on the same team. And no matter if you sit over here, if you sit over here, we're on the same team. And no matter if you wear a tie or I don't wear a tie, we're on the same team. We're on the same team. Let's move that direction. Let's go forward for Christ. Let's make sure that we're unified in the body of Christ. Here's what that means. Let's learn a little bit about Christ. Let's be informed about who he is and what he expects for the church. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for teaching us today in your word. God, I'm so thankful that you gave us clear instructions about how we as believers should live our lives for you. And today, Lord, I just pray that you'd encourage us to be the church, to know who you are, know what you expect. Help us to be strong in unity. God, help us to serve on purpose. God, help us to stand for the truth, the doctrines in the Word of God, but God, help us to do it in love. And all of that is a prescription for your blessings and growth. God, that growth may be spiritual, it may be physical, or however you tend to bless, but God, you will bless if we follow what you say. Help us, God, to learn you, to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet, heads back.